One of the questions I get the most frequently from people is, how do I know if I'm hearing God's voice or if these are my own thoughts? And oftentimes people understand it's important to know that they're hearing from God, but they frequently just feel really confused and disoriented how to know if they're hearing from God. So in today's episode, I'm sharing with you 5 ways to know if you're hearing from God and what to do about it. So let's jump in.
Hi, you're listening to Jabba with Jen with your host, Jenalee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this.
Hey guys, hey, it is the week of Thanksgiving when I'm recording this episode, and I don't know about y'all, but I am feeling New Year's. I normally am not so ahead of the curve. Normally the holidays have me upside down and backwards, and I am feeling just so ready for this next season. So with that said, I actually, for any of you, if you find yourself around the new year or a new season of life, and you just want to process your new season with the Lord, I created a New Year's planner. Obviously, it's geared towards New Year's, but really you can use it for any new season, maybe a birthday, maybe it's an anniversary, maybe you're moving somewhere and starting a new season of life, whatever it is. I will put that link in the show notes. It is a free download. It is beautiful. And it also comes with like a listen list of, you know, 4 or 5 podcast episodes to get your new season started right. It is super empowering. I cannot wait to print mine out and use it myself. I originally created it for myself to process my own new year because, truth be told, going into New Year and all the hubbaloo around New Year's resolutions, and statistically only 9% of people actually complete theirs, I was like, you know, let's do something different. I don't want to get on that rat race and that crazy train. And so how can I do this differently? So I started looking at the Word of God and how Scripture shows to celebrate what God has done as people would plant in new places. And so I decided we're going to make that part of our process. So I've built this planner. It's just essentially a series of worksheets, a little bit of reading, not a lot, just like paragraphs, you know. And it's really practical, really tactical, and is a great way to just dig into what the Lord did in your last season and then dream with the Lord for your next season. And then I put in there decrees and affirmations that are scripturally based that you can speak over your life in this next season. It is a really loaded, beautiful tool, and people get so excited every time I share it, and people ate it up like crazy last year. So that link is in the show notes. It is a totally free download. You can share the link that's down there with a friend if you know someone who'd enjoy it. Otherwise, I also wanted to give you guys a heads up. Right now, when this episode will be going live, it is Black Friday week, and I am running a Black Friday special for $300 off of my podcast coaching program. I normally never discount it that steeply, and so grab it while you can. It's only available during Black Friday. I'm going to put the link in the show notes as well to book a call with me to get on, to have a conversation, see if it's a good fit for you. And that's essentially if you want to start a podcast or you've thought about starting a podcast and you'd like to talk through, hey, would this be a good fit for me? We can get on a call. I will tell you if it's not a good fit for you, but I'll also tell you if potentially you have a lot that you could bring to the table when it comes to podcasting. And podcasting is easier to do than people realize. There is a strategy, though, and the strategy is where people typically fail if they don't understand how to build a successful show. So grab that link in the show notes. When you're signing up for your call with me, you can just drop in anywhere on the form, just Black Friday discount, and that'll let me know that if and when you sign up, you get that $300 discount. Let's see what else is going on. Otherwise, I wanted to just jump into today's episode to let you guys know Hearing God's voice is essential. And I feel like when we go into new seasons, like we are right now headed into the new year, but you know, anytime in our lives, whenever there's a decision to be made or a pivot point in front of us or a relationship we're unsure about, a situation we're unsure about, we find ourselves wanting to lean into the counsel of the Lord. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our counselor, right? And so there's naturally, as a child of God, just like our children come to us when they need help or they need advice or they need guidance, we find ourselves wanting to go to the Lord for the same thing because we're his child, right? He's built it into us. The Holy Spirit's our counselor. But what I find is a lot of people end up struggling with, how do I know if I'm hearing God's voice in response to my prayers and questions? And that is really the biggest barrier that I find for people feeling like they can confidently hear from the Lord is they don't know how to discern if it's his voice or if it's their own thoughts. And so I thought, you know, this would be a great episode to cover, just going into the new year, taking a fresh start. Some people want to reevaluate their spiritual life and implement new disciplines, and this would be a good one to implement in 2024 or whatever new season you're stepping into. Make this something that is like, you know what, this next season, I'm going to make leaning in and hearing God's voice, learning to recognize his voice, a priority in my life, because this is important. So that's what we're covering in today's episode, and let's go ahead and jump right in. Okay, so there are 5 different ways to know if you're hearing from God. Now, truth be told, there's probably definitely more, but these are kind of my 5 go-tos. I wanted to keep it pretty simple, but I just thought through, like, how do I evaluate when God is speaking to me? How have I been taught to evaluate? What does common sense tell us? What does the Bible tell us? And so I broke it down to 5 ways to know if you're hearing from God and what to do about it, which we'll cover at the end. Okay, so point number 1, the first way to know if you're hearing from God is that God's voice is always consistent with his word, right? Genesis 1:1 says Jesus is the word, and in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He was the word in the beginning. And so when you're getting direction from the Lord, guidance from the Lord, he will never speak to you contrary to who he is and what he is. He is the word. And so it will not be contrary to the word of God nor to his character. So a fun little story of this. We try to teach our kids to lean into hearing God's voice. And when Shiloh, my son, was like 2.5, he went missing momentarily. He was walking around the neighborhood. And so I had to go track him down. And he was just in the cul-de-sac by our house. And I'm walking down the sidewalk. I could see him, so I wasn't freaking out or anything. But I was walking down the sidewalk, and I see a pile of poop on the sidewalk that does not look like dog poop. And I was like, "Are you? I hope that's not what I think it is." And so when I got to Shiloh, he saw me. He came to me, and I stopped, and I said, "Shiloh, is that your poo-poo? Did you poo-poo on the sidewalk?" And he looked at me so proud, and he goes, "Yes, Mommy, I poo-pooed on the sidewalk." And I was like, "Honey, why in the world would you have poo-pooed?" And I'm picturing him like pulling his pants down, and the neighbors coming home from work, driving by my kid with his drawers dropped to the ground, pooping on the sidewalk. Like, I've got this whole picture playing out in my head. And I was like, "Buddy, why would you do that?" And he goes, "Mom, I asked God and he told me I could poop on the sidewalk." And I was like, "Oh Lord Jesus." So as silly of an illustration as that is, I have heard people say things in their lives that have sounded like the equivalent. "Oh, God told me that even though I'm married, that person is supposed to be my spouse," you know, or "God told me to," just crazy things. I'm not even gonna get into all. And so I want to encourage you with this. God's voice is always consistent with his word. And he lays out for us a number of things in his word that tell us what he would, how he would counsel us, like the Ten Commandments, right? If you're not familiar, look it up. It's in the Old Testament, I think in Deuteronomy. The Ten Commandments, they tell your Exodus, I'm sorry. They tell you, you know, "You shall not murder. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have no other gods before me. You shall not have any idol. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not covet and envy. Do not be in adultery or commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not steal." These are the Ten Commandments, right? And so When you look at that, that's very clear. God is not going to counsel you opposite of what he's already counseled you, right? And then we also have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which says, you know, love is, sorry, that's the fruit of love. Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Where is it? I wrote it down. Where is it? Galatians. There it is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So when God counsels you, it will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit meaning the byproduct of when the Spirit is involved in a situation, it's going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then you have the fruit of love, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not rude, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, it believes all things, hopes all things, love never fails. I don't know if that was all of them, but that's a lot of them. And so those are all things he's already written in scripture that give us guidelines of the kinds of almost like road bumpers. You know, if you ever go bowling and they put the bumpers up so that you don't fall off in the ditch, right? That's what these things serve as. They're like bumpers when you're going bowling to keep your ball where it hits the prize, right? And God provides these things as barriers for us and boundaries for us so that we can hit the prize with our life, right? And so God's voice is always going to counsel you in a way that's going to produce those kinds of fruit and follow those kinds of boundaries in your life. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if in doubt, when you want to hear God's voice, go to the word of God. That is the more, the Bible says that the word of God is the more sure word of prophecy. And prophecy meaning hearing God's voice. So if you want to hear God's voice, go to the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. And I'll put all my notes in the show notes so that if you want to look at them and take them in your quiet time, you can. Says all scripture is God-breathed, meaning the same voice that's going to give you instruction is the same voice that wrote the word of God, right? And it's useful for teaching us, rebuking us, correcting us, training us in righteousness so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So scripture is where you want to start, and God's voice in a situation is never going to steer you contrary to scripture. Hebrews 13:8 says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if yesterday he would have told you, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, then today he's still going to tell you, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. Okay, so if in doubt, go to the word of God. And when you feel like God's giving you a specific instruction for your life, you can always hold it up against the word of God and say, does this line up with what the word of God would tell me to do? And that is your first filter for hearing God's voice and discerning his voice. Is it consistent with the word of God? Secondly, God's voice always produces peace. So this is a really big one because sometimes our logic and our thinking can get all convoluted and in the way, but you can't fake peace. You know, you can be in a situation where you're like, I want to say yes, but something in me just feels like, apprehensive, you know, a little bit unsure. That's not peace. Whereas peace, you can be in a situation that logic would say, this is stupid, but you have all the peace because the Lord's like, nope. Nope, this is where I want you to walk. And so an example of that is when, you know, I decided that we were going to have home births. So I remember I was on a walk with the Lord and I was processing with him. I was pregnant and I was terrified of having my babies in a hospital or anywhere. Like home birth wasn't even on the radar. All I knew was you get pregnant, you have a baby, you do it at the hospital. That's all I knew. That was my grid. And I was walking and talking to the Lord, and I had this maybe unrealistic, but I don't know, measure of anxiety and almost like a sense of terror around delivering my child. And I was processing with the Lord, and I was like, God, I've got to find a way to settle into peace. Like, I can't live like this. Help me. And the Lord had kind of been dropping hints and dropping ideas, kind of preparing our hearts to the idea of having a home birth. Now, I had not entertained it because I thought that was stupid and cray. And my husband, he's like, I think we should have a home birth. And I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say. You're not the one spitting this kid out your wahoo, you know? So I was like, I don't think so. So I'm on this walk with the Lord. I'm trying to paint a picture here for you. And I'm processing with him. And I had been aware that maybe the Lord was dropping these ideas, but I had not surrendered to the idea yet. And so I was processing and I was like, God, I'm so scared. I'm so scared. And the Lord speaks to my heart. And he said, generally, if you take the route of the flesh, you'll have the reward of the flesh, which is death. But if you take the route of the spirit, you will have the reward of the spirit, which is life. And that didn't mean hospital birth is the flesh and home birth is the spirit. That's not what that meant. What it meant is obedience. Like the Lord was trying to order our steps and instruct us. And I was wrestling with it because in my flesh, what made the most sense is to do what's always been done, which is go to the hospital, right? And so we felt like the Lord was asking us to go on a non-traditional path. And the thing that confirmed to me that this was God's voice was that when I relented and I said, okay, Lord, then I will trust you and we'll do home births, I suddenly had such overwhelming peace about having my babies. Suddenly, all the terror was gone, and I had just this overwhelming peace, which looking at the circumstances, most people would not have more peace about a home birth. They would have more peace about a hospital where you have all the help you need, right? And so that's what confirmed to me the peace of God, which transcended all understanding, guarded my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Philippians says this. And so that confirmed to me I was hearing God's voice for our situation. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And so if you have a situation where you're not walking in peace, you need to get the voice of God on your situation. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not perfect, made perfect in love. God is love. And so if we get with the one who is love, peace will replace fear. And so you can lean into that. In fact, another little story on that is when Shiloh was born, my last one. God had given me a promise for that delivery. He had spoken to my heart and said, I will overcome. When Shiloh was born, I took him to the hospital after he was born, the doctor, to have him, you know, just do a checkup. And he was hearing some concerning things about his heart. And so he said, generally, you need to bring him home or bring him back here in 3 days because I'm hearing some really concerning things. And he threw out the word congenitive heart failure and different things. And he goes, but sometimes it's just because he's brand new. Bring him back in 3 days to a week and we'll listen to him. So as he was talking to me about all the concerning things, the Lord surfaced that word he had given me, which was, I will overcome. And so I grabbed a hold of that. And instead of letting fear reign in my heart, God's word produced peace in my heart. And I said, we're going to hold to God's word instead. So we just began to speak it over my son and speak it and speak it and speak it. And we brought him back a week later. And the doctor could not find anything wrong with his heart. And so the word of God, which was living and active in our souls, brought peace. It also brought healing in our situation. And so God's voice will produce peace in your heart in the situation you're seeking guidance for. Okay, point number three. God's voice will always lead you to do good, and it produces good fruit in your life. So if you're unsure, let's say you're seeking the Lord about something, and you're unsure, is this the Lord? Is this not the Lord? Is this me? Is this the enemy? Like, who's talking here? Look for the fruit that will come if you follow through on what you think is the Lord's voice, and let that help you evaluate if it is God's voice, okay? So here's an example. I, in a season of my life, had very skewed ideas of what I thought the Word of God says about how to love people, how to have relationships, and all these things. Well, what I didn't realize is I believed very extreme versions of, you know, turn the other cheek if someone's mistreating you, which means I was translating it as let them continue to mistreat you because this is godlier. not healthy. Or, you know, when someone's abusing you, I didn't recognize it as abuse. I recognized it as my need to dig deeper and find more satisfaction in the Lord, because surely their actions shouldn't hurt me if I'm really rooted in the Lord. You know, I had some really weird thinking for a while years back. And so I remember one time there was a relationship in my life that that was literally harming me. It was an abusive relationship. It was a long going one that demanded loyalty and commitment. And so I remember struggling with getting away from the harm that was being produced in my life. And I finally remember driving down the road and I said, "Lord, I'm sorry if this is an ungodly way to approach this relationship, but I have to have boundaries or I'm going to die in this relationship." And when I said, "I have to have boundaries," suddenly the presence of God washed over me in such a strong way that I had not experienced in a long time. Again, it brought peace, right? And suddenly I realized, holy cow, God has been wanting me to have boundaries all this time. So that initiated my discovery and my pursuit of discovery of boundaries and how boundaries play into Christian life, Christian living, Christian principles, Christian lifestyle. Well, I began to come up against all these wrong beliefs that I had, and I had to begin to weigh out, is this a place where I need boundaries, or is this a place where I need to lay down my life? And so what I began to do is look at what fruit comes from if I have a boundary here, and what fruit comes from if I lay my life down here. And I realized that in some situations, a lot of them, I actually needed boundaries. But here's what told me that boundaries were the godly decision and were actually something the Spirit of God would have counseled me to do, is because I looked at the fruit that was produced. Implementing those boundaries in my life enabled me to create, it created more peace in me, for one. It enabled me to walk in more self-control and less others control. That's the beauty of boundaries. It makes you, puts you back responsible for your own life and not responsible for managing other people's behavior, right? So it allowed self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit, right? It restored peace and joy in my life, more fruits of the Spirit. And it held the other person that was unhealthy accountable for their own behavior, which put them in a position of having to make a change or leave the relationship, and they decided to make changes. So then it began to produce the fruit of the Spirit and love in their life, which was establishing the kingdom of God. And then it also it caused me to stop being an enabler to their sin. So it created the fruit of the Spirit in both myself and in my situation. It corrected bad patterns. It corrected enabling that I didn't realize that I was demonstrating. And it allowed for the kingdom of God to be established. The Bible says the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. So in any situation that you're in, when you're seeking the counsel of the Lord, the kingdom of God being established there looks like more peace, more joy, and more righteousness will show up in that situation. And so the fruit that came from establishing boundaries was more peace, more joy, and more righteousness in my situation. So that's how I was able to measure, even though it confronted a lot of religious thinking that I had, it meant that I had to lay down some wrong thinking, which said, no, turn the other cheek here. No, lay down your life here. No, you know, anyone can love his friend, but a man of God loves his enemy, you know, like, which are all true principles, but they were being applied in my life in an unhealthy way. And so I had to learn to discern, and that was difficult. It was like I was rewriting my Christianity for myself, you know. I had to abandon what I would call religious beliefs because they were not producing life in my life, right? I had to abandon religious beliefs and take up godly beliefs that looked more practical, like boundaries. And so I had to discern the voice of God in this new area of my life by evaluating what fruit is this going to produce in my life. And so James 1:22 says, don't just listen to the word, the spoken word of God, do what it says. And so when God says that he wants the fruit of the Spirit in our life, he wants us to live in self-control, he expects us to do that, right? Okay, point number four, anything that God says will be consistent with God's nature. So an example of this is when, well, let me give you this, some of the natures of God first. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says this. So anything God says will be loving and kind. God is just. Psalms 11:7. So therefore, anything God says will be fair and righteous. The Bible says that justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne. So God is just. So he's not okay with abuse existing in relationships. He's not okay with wicked ones just violating and destroying, right? Anything he says will be fair and just. God is holy, 1 Peter 1:16. So anything God says to me will be pure and good and will push me towards holiness. God is not controlling, right? He will not lead you to be controlling, but rather he will lead you to be self-controlled, like the fruit of the Spirit. So back to my story, there was an environment that I was working in that was an environment normally, and now I'm not a quitter. I was raised and trained, suck it up, buttercup, let God refine your character, move on through, you're not a quitter, right? That's how I was raised. So removing myself from, you know, a church that I worked at or an environment or a relationship that required a lot of commitment, you know, or whatever, leaving was my last line of action, you know what I mean? And so I was in a situation where I was working at a church and it was a very unhealthy environment. Pastor was a little bit controlling and there was just a lot of stuff going on there that working there caused a lot of grief and conflict in my heart and in my spirit. And so I remember there was a situation that happened where I felt incredibly disrespected at work and my hard work was essentially just tossed aside and, you know, rules were changed all the time. My pay was changed based on the pastor's mood and, you know, it was just kind of crazy. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I need you to help me with my heart, right? I was still dealing with, like, I'm not a quitter. And so I sat down with the Lord, prepared for him to, like, teach me, you know, where I was being selfish or where I was being self-centered or something. And I sat down with the Lord and I said, God, help me with my heart again. Help me. Like, every week, every couple times a week, I have to come to you for this, with this situation. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Jenilee, you cannot control how other people respect you or how they receive you or how they appreciate or honor or regard you. But you can control if you participate. And when he said that, it was not in arrogance. It was not like, I deserve this, that, you know, it was just in an attitude of self-control. Like, you know what? Your heart generally is the one that's on the line here. And you are supposed to guard your heart above all else because out of it flow all the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. And so the Lord was like, you have a choice here. You can't control if they're going to stop treating you this way. So you're going to essentially keep having to deal with this offense again and again and again. So you have a choice to make. You can either continue to deal with this offense or you can remove yourself from the situation. And so I decided, you know what? I'm removing myself from the situation. And I cannot tell you how many times since that time when I removed myself, I looked back and I thought to myself, probably on a weekly basis, maybe multiple times a week, and I would hear about things going on there. And I was like, I am so grateful that I made that decision. I made a good decision. It was a healthy decision, you know? And so God's nature is love. He prompted me to step away and that allowed me to guard his love that lives in my heart so that I wasn't replacing it with resentment. God is just. He stands for what is right. I was not being treated right. And so I had a right to protect my heart from being constantly mistreated, right? God is holy. And by staying in that environment, the holiness in my heart was being threatened because I really just wanted to spit and cuss, right? Because I was getting so hurt over and over. God is holy. So his voice guided me to make a decision that produced holiness in my heart. God is not controlling, but he will always challenge us to be self-controlled. In this environment, that meant I can't control that person's behavior. I can't control how they run their office, but I could control myself and how I participate and if I participate. So I chose self-control and I chose to remove myself. And it was literally the best decision I ever made. It was amazing. And it allowed me to step aside into some other things the Lord had for me that became a very fruitful season of my life. And so it produced good fruit in my life even beyond. Okay, so that was point number four. Anything God says will be consistent with his nature. And then point five, God's voice brings conviction in love, never in shame or condemnation. And this speaks to, say, maybe when God is speaking to us and convicting us of sin specifically, or really anything, if he's bringing correction at all, that's one area that we as believers deal with, of course, is Lord, search me and know me and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, right? Psalms. And so God, when he brings conviction of sin, it is never in a way that is going to produce shame, condemnation, make you feel dirty or yucky or small or bad. He doesn't, that's not his voice. His voice is he comes in love and kindness. Romans 2:4, and I have a story for this as well. Romans 2:4 says, it is the kindness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. The kindness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. So his voice is going to sound kind. 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, meaning God finds joy in leading us into truth. He doesn't find joy in berating and being like, rah, 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 you're so bad. He doesn't find joy in that. Love rejoices with the truth. When truth wins out, because truth brings freedom, God loves that. And so it gives him joy to lead us into truth. And so there was a moment when I was standing in Walmart, making a return. And literally, this doesn't happen very often, but the Lord just interrupted my thoughts and spoke to me out of nowhere. And it felt very random. But he said, you know, Jenalee, he said, there's no room for shame in our relationship. And to my knowledge, I was not processing any shameful thinking. I was actually staring at the photo on the wall at the return section at Walmart, thinking about the woman and the child and wondering if they were actually related. You know, like I was not in a spiritual moment at all. I was just bored. And the Lord speaks this to me. There's no room for shame in our relationship. And so I realized, like, I meditated on that for a while because it really kind of percolated all this revelation. What did God mean by that? Why did he say that? No room for shame. Why did he choose those words? What does that mean? And I've come to learn that, you know, shame is something that causes us to feel like something's wrong with me. But conviction says something's wrong with what was done, the actions that were made, the choice that was made. Something's wrong with that choice. But shame says something is wrong with you. And that's the difference. God rejoices in the truth. And the truth of who you are is you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. You are above him, not beneath. You are the apple of his eye. It delighted him to make you his own. The truth of who you are is beautiful. And so God's not going to come to you and make you feel slimy, because that's not the truth, right? That's condemnation and shame. So God's voice brings conviction in love, never shame or condemnation. There was a time when I, based on some sin that was in my life, I was expecting the shaming of God, or like a strong response from him being like, shame on you. Because I was wrestling with something that I had judged other people for doing. And so because of that judgment that had lived in my heart, I expected judgment from the Lord, you know? And so instead, though, in the depths of my messiest, darkest moments, I was met with the tender mercy of the Lord. He was so kind in those moments when I expected him to be harsh. And it was his kindness and his understanding. It's like he understood where I was. Not that he validated the sin by any stretch, but he understood where I was, how broken I was, he understands that we are but dust, right? He understands the frail nature of mankind. And he had compassion for my brokenness. He had kindness in the face of my sin. And the fact that that was what I encountered when I expected something harsh and horrible, his kindness healed my soul enough to find the strength to crawl out of my sin with his grace. You know, like he definitely was helping me. And I definitely prayed and I was like, God, close this door. I won't make it if you don't close these doors, you know. And the Lord moved ahead of me and he never ever shamed me or made me feel bad or small for the situation I found myself in. And that showed me that I was encountering God's voice in those moments and the true picture of God. It wasn't my own thoughts. It was definitely not the enemy's thoughts. It was surprising to me the kindness that he met me with in the midst of my mistakes and sin. And Romans 2:4 says, it is the kindness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. And 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. So this affirms the truth that God's voice sounds like loving conviction, not condemning, accusation, or shame. So when God's voice comes to us, when we're asking God to speak to us, and it's in an area of our struggle, area of sin, area of weakness, he will never speak to us out of anger or hatred, but out of love. He wants us to turn from our sin and live in obedience to him, but shame and anger produces shame. Condemnation produces shame in us, and shame causes us to want to go and hide, right? That's what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden. They hid, they were ashamed, and so they hid because of their nakedness. Shame will make you want to run and hide from the Lord, but godly conviction that leads to repentance makes you want to draw near to him because you encounter his kindness and his goodness. And so that's the final point that I'll bring out today, that God's voice brings conviction in love, never shame or condemnation. So how can you start hearing God's voice more clearly in your life right now? One way you can do that is when you feel like God is speaking, take action to obey when you think that he is. And of course, first evaluate, especially if it's something that has any risk attached, evaluate, will it produce good fruit? Is this aligned with his word? His voice is consistent with his word. So is this aligned with his word? Will it produce peace in me? Will it lead me to do good and produce good fruit in my life? Is it consistent with God's nature? And does it bring conviction and love, not shame or condemnation? Those are the five areas. And so some practical ways that you can grow in your ability to hear God's voice. And this is one simple one. There's lots of different ways, but here's a simple one that I wanted to give you as a practical application. So this is how I began to really sharpen and learn to lean into and trust and discern my hearing of God's voice. You're going to take some time to pray, maybe 5 minutes or whatever, and ask God, Lord, who is on your heart? Who would you have me pray for? And then you just get quiet and someone will probably come to mind. Someone will come across your thoughts. So the first person that comes across your thoughts, settle on that person. And then say, okay, Lord, Jerry is on your heart. Lord, what would you have me pray for Jerry? And then listen in your heart and you may get an impression of something, maybe discouragement, maybe financial stuff, maybe hope deferred, maybe this, maybe that. And then you just pray into those things in that moment. Say, okay, Lord, I pray that you would bring encouragement into his life right where he is and that you would bring financial breakthrough, release angels of finances to bring a breakthrough in his life and that you would strengthen his hands and strengthen his weak knees as he is standing and contending for the things you put in his heart. You know, you pray those things. And then this is where the learning happens. When you see Jerry or whoever, you say, hey, Jerry, or you text them maybe, especially if you won't see them, just text them. I want you to know I was praying for you and this is what was on my heart. Blah, 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 say the things and say, I hope that ministers to you. I don't know if that resonates or not, but I just want you to know you're on my heart and this is what I've been lifting up to the Lord. 9 times out of 10, you'll get a response and they'll be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm dealing with. When that's the case, you learn in that moment, oh, that was the voice of God. I was hearing the voice of God. Okay. And so you need to go back and remember, what did that feel like? Where did I feel his voice bring revelation? Was it in my gut? Was it in my heart? Was it in my mind? Did it bring peace? Did I feel my body tingle anywhere? You know, like pay attention to what your body, how your body responded. Pay attention to where the revelation came from. Was it in your mind, in your heart? Did it come all at once? Did it trickle in? You know, think through the things and just begin to take mental notes and then just continue this exercise, maybe daily or just multiple times a week. And start to take notes of how you hear God's voice in your spirit. It's not the same for everyone. And so when God speaks to you, there are lots of ways he speaks. Sometimes he speaks in our heart. Sometimes he speaks in nature through confirming circumstances, through unusual circumstances, through dreams, visions, through someone giving you a direct word from the word of God. God speaks in lots of ways. But learning to recognize his voice from inside of your spirit is a very important part of being a Christian and growing in your faith. So your five things, once again, I'm going to drop these notes. It's a Google Doc. I'm going to drop the link in the show notes so you can access my notes if you'd like to. But just to recap, when you think you're hearing God's voice, what you weigh it against is it consistent with his word? Does it produce peace in my life? Will it lead me to do good and produce good fruit in my life? Is it consistent with God's nature? And does it bring conviction and love instead of shame and condemnation? You guys, I hope that was a helpful episode for you. Let me know. You can leave comments if you're listening in Spotify. You can answer questions or leave comments or even leave voice memos right inside of Spotify so I can hear your feedback on this episode. Also, send it to a friend if you feel like this would encourage your friend. Send it to a friend. Don't forget to jump down in my show notes and download my New Year's planner. If you are in a season change and you want to strategize and process with the Lord, it's going to be perfect for that. Also, if you're interested in starting a podcast, you've ever thought about it, or you know someone who is, check out my link below and put Black Friday deal or Black Friday discount in the notes when you're booking a call with me for a $300 discount. Obviously, when you book a call, you're not signing up. You're just asking questions, but I need to know that that's the discount that you saw. That way I can apply it if and when you do sign up. So thanks you guys for following and listening. I love ya. I'm looking forward to the new year and all that it holds. In the meantime, happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course, by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and he wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.